Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. What?
Oh, sorry.
You ruined my intro.
Sorry.
And I'm going to do it again.
Sorry.
You know what? Maybe I won't do the intro. Maybe this is how I should start the podcast from now on. Guys, this is Why Won't You Date Me? It's a new episode. My guest today, I'm going to get right into it. Oh, daddy-o. You better believe he's a hilarious comedian and an actor. Who hosted the Team Coco Live monthly comedy show? Ooh, he's got a new comedy special. Ooh, it's called White Trash. It's available on HBO Max. It's Moses Storm.
That's not the regular intro.
No, usually I talk about I'm trying to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come in my eye and I would say, thank you. That's yummy for me to keep my eyes closed.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's shocking every time. Is it just pressure now to stay single to make the show work?
Hell no. I'll get in a relationship tomorrow. If somebody, you know, would have me.
Yeah. And it hasn't happened yet. Come on.
Not yet. Nobody has asked me to be in a relationship yet. And here's the thing. It's like, why wouldn't you date me? It's like, sorry, you wouldn't date me because I'm in a relationship. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't end the podcast.
Okay. There's a new breath. They're asking about season 8. And don't worry. I have answers. I mean, it does seem insane that you would have. I guess it's you who's. Can be picky. I mean, you're on podcasts, you're on TV, you're on stand-up, yeah. You're on motorcycles.
Hell yeah, dude.
You're on roller skates.
Ooh, baby.
You're on all the things.
I am. I'm on all of the wheels that you could be on. I am doing things. Moses, I have a question for you. You're in a relationship.
Yeah.
How did you do that? How did it happen?
It makes people angry when I say the story. So I'm working on, and hopefully you can help me come up with a better one. But
okay,
the very first Tinder date I went on, I was like, God. I'm not looking for anything. It was a joke messaging people because it was like a very new app in late 2014. It was still this thing of like, this is the hookup app. Mm-hmm. Went on one Tinder date and... it's been together ever since. That makes people fucking furious when they find that out.
Yeah, that's fucking wild. So, okay, what was... you were joking around in messages to your current partner. What were you saying?
Okay, so it was a couple days before Thanksgiving. Everything is against us. It's the saddest time to be trying to date. And it's the worst, even if you have a good family. It's like, I'm about to leave and go spend time at home. This is a real sentence. I was just leaving an art exhibit that I had lived in for 2 months.
I was leaving an art exhibit that I lived
was
in.
Living in an art exhibit where people could watch me shit, shower, shave 24/7. It was open for 2 months.
Where?
In downtown LA, in the fashion district. And no fashion has ever been done there. It's front for drugs.
So wait, was your dick just out for everybody to look at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I was essentially, I had gotten cheated on / she was like, we were never really together a couple months before. And I was essentially throwing the world's most expensive fit by moving into this art exhibit.
I don't know if it's a fit. I feel like it's like a real eat, pray, love, but for the artiste.
Yes, I like you framing it that way. I look back, I took the video down of it because I cringe at it. It's just a very angry young man that's like, well, yeah, she cheated because she didn't want to be with you. That's just like people have their own right. You are not owed anything. No, everyone has their own pain and things that they're interested in. And to be fair to her, we were never really together because, I don't know, have you ever had a relationship start this way? She's like, don't tell anyone.
That's funny. That's what she said in the beginning. Don't tell nobody.
But I think if you're 21, 22, it's like, how romantic. It's a Romeo.
Ooh, it's secret. I love it.
Yeah. She was a known figure person. And much hotter than me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like very lucky that I caught her at a very bad time in her life. Mm-hmm. And just happened to be there and be a little bit kind. But still very immature 21-year-old, 22-year-old. She was about 6 years older than me. Yeah, that was like part of the reason. So then that ended, and I just couldn't handle it. At 21, that's the most pain that anyone had ever felt in their life. And then essentially did this thing as a half joke of like, oh, everyone's abusing crowdfunding right now. Zach Braff is, you know, trying to raise money for a movie. That's okay. And then, but then behind it, if I really examined why I was doing it, it was just throwing a very expensive fit. To get her attention. I don't know what the end goal was, but...
Did she reach out to you? She, like, heard you shitting in public and sleeping for people to watch. Are you doing okay? You want to go to dinner?
When you put it like that, it sounds awful. Heard you shitting in public. Yeah, who wouldn't want to get back together? The amount of eye contact I made with people. Yeah. No, I did invite her to come. And she very politely was like, well, no, I'm not going to come to that. It's psycho to see someone. And it's going to be more painful for you if you're clearly not over this. So.
How long did, I don't mean to, no, I do.
No,
chuckling.
Let's get to it.
And I'm going to own it.
It's all very embarrassing. Yes.
How long were you together, not together?
Not even long enough to be this angry. I would say maybe 7 months. Give or take a few weeks.
Okay, I think that's long enough.
Okay. If you're 21, you're flying by the seat of your pants, like, oh my God, this is insane. This person is way out of my league. This never happens for us comedy folk. Yeah, and then your brain's not fully formed, and you're also just, you're a piece of shit. If you're 21, doesn't matter where you are. If you're like, I'm at a commune right now, and you're studying, you're a piece of shit. So yes, in my piece of shit head, it was I had been wronged or was hurt.
I mean, and okay, so, oh, that's really interesting that you met somebody that you went on to be in a long-term relationship with while leaving an art exhibit that you lived in while mourning a relationship that was never actualized.
Which on paper, right? That's awful. That's an awful way to start any relationship.
No, on paper, I buy that pitch. It is a great indie movie for A24. We're doing it. Thank you so much. Or Neon or something.
Love Exhibited. It's always some title that doesn't make sense. Those low budget ones that are like, they are the R of us. You're like, what? Adam Driver is always in it. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Adam Driver would absolutely play you and be like, I just don't know what I need. I know what I want, and it's you. And it's like, hey, we need you back in your box. And he's like, I gotta go.
He's so angry.
I would watch it.
Yeah, so I was in that thing, throwing a big old fit, maybe doing sex in the art exhibit with people. It's alluring.
You were also fucking people in this art exhibit? Moses, this is wild.
That sounds bad when you say it like that. There was, you know, people hook up, you're 21, and then that's where I was living.
I'm sorry. So, was it during exhibit hours?
Yes. Well, they're 24 hours, so everything was exhibit hours.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, would people wait till, like, the dead of the night and be like, surely no one will be here at 3 a.m.?
Yeah. Yeah, it was that. I mean, the thing is, LA is such a shitty city in that if you are just have an open spot and you're like, I'm doing this performance thing, everyone will co-opt it for their own thing. Other artists came in. It was a 2,000 square foot loft in a part of town that if you ever got off of the exit, you're like, I made a mistake. This is not even on the way to anything. Downtown LA gets so scary after 5 p.m. It's just, there's no rules.
Nightfall happens and you're like, all right, people are just walking in the middle of the street. Okay.
So if you say you have an anything goes art exhibit that I can't really control, I was barely talking in there, people would show up, people would put up their own art, they would have art shows in there, the musicians would come and practice there, they would put on shows there. Ronnie Turioff, this is a real thing, Ronnie Turioff, a professional basketball player, had just started training for the Lakers because he got traded or whatever, and then he started hanging out there. We had a dodgeball game there. It was like anything that people wanted to do, I really couldn't say no to, happened there. So, it was my entire life. It consumed everything. So sometimes people would come there. And one of those people was me.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is so funny to me. Okay, so you leave this art exhibit where you were living.
I get kicked out. I get kicked out of the art exhibit.
Oh, how do you get kicked out of your art exhibit?
So the LAPD has raided several buildings in downtown LA. This is a real thing that people can look up. It was called Operation Fashion Police.
No.
I shit you not. Doesn't that sound like it's starring Mary-Kate and Ashley?
Yes. That's so funny.
So the FBI and the DEA has raided several buildings. And mind you, this is the only building that would let me do this in LA. Airbnb was just becoming a thing. I tried all that avenue. I couldn't have a place where I was allowed to live and was also a place where people could constantly come in. I tried storefronts. Mm-hmm. I tried people's, just a house. None of that I could afford or do. The one building, it was like a little sketchy. The guy was a little scary. He had like three old guys in his office that were like the muscle when I signed the temporary lease, which is also major red flag. It's like, oh, month by month? What do you think is going to happen in here?
That is funny to be like, I'll do month by month. Also, I have bodyguards for your signature. Thank you so much. I'm dangerous.
So they, the DA, they raid several buildings downtown LA. And it turns out that the guy that owned my building, my landlord essentially, was laundering money through these fashion stores. Like if you're getting a quinceañera dress, it's like four dresses in a room. But they were laundering cartel money through this business. And one of the apartments, not mine, this rich guy who was very mean to his girlfriend, they found $250,000 lining his walls. They knocked down the drywall.
Oh,
yeah. So he got arrested. He made bail that night and was like,
well,
you gotta
stop.
Well,
yeah, you just have to fucking open another door and dig up the drywall.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I mean, of course I check my walls. Nothing. he was like, you gotta stop having so many people over. It wasn't, mm-hmm. It was never packed. It was not famous or anything. I mean, the most was like, 100 people, which is kind of a lot, but.
That is so many people. I can't imagine having 100 people in my home.
Yeah. But the other lofts, I mean, they were doing things like yoga / edible class, where people take mm-hmm. an edible and do yoga. So a lot of these lofts are like creative spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But people actually live there. So he was like, you can't have any more parties. And I didn't tell him what mm-hmm. I was doing. I wasn't going to explain it. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then just kept doing it. And he got very upset. And he had his old muscle come over and say, everyone needs to get out. Like mm-hmm. two old guys. And everyone got kicked out. And then I guess those old muscle guys were getting in people that were just attending the art exhibit's face of like shoving them, like, gotta get out of here. Then the guy that runs the building got punched. So he was very upset.
Yeah.
Someone calls the cops. He goes up there to essentially kick my ass with his old guys. And right as he comes in, he's like in my face. I'm like literally up against the wall. He's yelling at me. Then the cops come in and they break everything up. And I break the 3-month lease agreement that we had, and I pack everything up, and I'm out before the sun's up.
Dang. So you didn't have another place lined up. Where'd you go?
Didn't have another place lined up. I moved back to Beechwood Canyon, baby. It's the hot spot. UCB is at its prime. It's 2014. You and I auditioned for Harold's together.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where we met.
Uh-huh. Neither one of us made it, I don't think.
No. And then the both of us have been running on spite energy ever since.
Yeah, I think that was, I was trying to get back onto Harold Knight.
Yeah.
And they were like, sorry about it. And I was like, I mean, okay.
Which you were right. So funny in Harold's. And I think the UCB did not reward people like us. It, maybe it's fair to them, where we are, a lot of the notes that you get is like, hey, stop being so funny in this scene. Stop controlling the scene. I know is what's funny and what's going to make this scene good, but you got to remember, we're doing a team sport here.
Yeah. And then it's just like, oh, okay, so I guess I could be on stage alone and do improv, and I'll just call that stand-up and I'll repeat them. I'll repeat all them jokes. Yeah,
so a lot of things that make you successful now is UCB is not into that at the time. Now they're into anything. They'll take it. So,
well, now UCB is, I think they're doing online classes. I don't know if the theater is going to open back up in LA. I don't know. Who knows?
That one theater is very good. It's a very fun room that shouldn't work. And it's still technically there, but everywhere else is closed. I mean, all mm-hmm. the Beast, that bad Hell's Kitchen venue is closed.
Uh-huh. The Chelsea one closed. Sunset closed.
What a Cuomo Brothers rise and descent. UCB had a very quick up and down.
It really, yeah, it was very swift in both directions.
Cuomo Brothers.
So how'd you get into stand-ups? Oh, wait, no, I still want to know. Okay, so you left.
So then she is leaving a relationship with a guy that she's probably been with for 2 years and had mm-hmm. just come from crying. And I was a little late to the date because she was crying in her car. So these are two very broken people.
Sure.
That are in no place to give anything to anyone,
mm-hmm.
which is what you should be. Your cup runneth over, that you should be able to give something. And then that's probably when you'll meet the person you're supposed to be with. So she's, yeah, still reeling from her ex and him maybe or may not cheating on her. And mm-hmm. I'm dealing with my thing. She shows up very late to this date, and she had, like, little bits planned. She's like, have you seen these new billboards? And I was like, I'm in love.
Wait, really?
Yeah, she had this whole bit about, she's not a comedian by any means, but she was just, like, had things I had clearly done myself of, like, oh, sometimes I didn't notice on a date I would prepare little, like, the car was crazy. Traffic is crazy. And then
wait,
she had
that's
this
so adorable. I've never done that. Maybe I should start doing that.
Have you never prepped for a date?
No, it's I've gone on so many dates that before each date I go, hey, Nicole, this one might be good. So just show up.
Yeah.
And then I show up and I try to like hold a conversation and try to be interesting.
Is there so, there's no like thought about the questions like how many siblings do you have or.
No, I guess I keep it pretty surfacey. I don't get into like siblings or like how you're raised or any of that shit until like I'm like, oh, I think I like you. I want to know things about you.
Yeah. I start immediately with, do you think you should spank your kids? I get right down to it.
Do you think you should spank your kids?
No. I was spanked. I was like, no, don't do that.
I was spanked too, and I don't think it's good. I think I think it's more, there's more weight to looking a child in the eyes and going, I'm really disappointed in your choices. Maybe you make better ones? And you're like, oh, man.
Because I think when you're forced to think things through, of like, oh, this can make people mad, it's a little healthier than, oh, do this thing, not because it's right, or you should have empathy towards other people that are going through a rough time. It's like, don't feel the hurt. I don't want to be hurt, so I won't do this. I don't think that's a good way to approach things. I don't know if that makes me a good person.
I think it makes you a good person. It makes you a person who like thinks things out, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I'll donate to charity so I don't get hit.
Yeah, I don't want fucking society to hit me. Okay, so you go on a date.
I message her a joke message. I was with other improv people when we had downloaded Tinder as a joke slash, would it be the worst thing in the world if people thought I was cute? So I message her 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I say this exactly. I'd be like, should I get one or two pizzas for Thursday? Meaning Thanksgiving. Which is like, oh, that's the saddest thing I could think of. It's like trying to get like two pizzas on a date. She did not get the joke. She was drunk enough and sad enough to be like, I don't know, sure. And then showed up to the date and really hit it off with this person that by the time I had left the date, I was like, oh, that's it. That's the person. And then, you know, broke it off with almost that night with the two other people I was kind of seeing. Post art exhibit. And then, just started dating her and things accelerated pretty quickly because of the time, meaning Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, her birthday, and then Valentine's Day, very close. So you really had to make moves quick.
Okay. So did you spend Thanksgiving together?
No, but
you spent Christmas together?
I did FaceTime her and sort of introduce her to my family, which is the first time I've ever done that.
Oh, that's sweet. I love that. Real quick, we have to take a break.
Okay.
Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, so you mentioned she got to meet your family. I know very little about your family other than you are homeschooled and you grew up in a cult.
Yeah, that's almost too generous. Both of those sentences, homeschooled implies that there was some school being done, much to the ire of the government and the welfare office. We did not have any schooling. I learned how to read and write at 18/right now, still learning.
Okay.
If I'm doing a table read for something, especially it's comedy, I'll ask if I can get it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cold read, I'm gonna ruin your joke. It's dyslexia, dysgraphia, and no schooling infrastructure.
Wait, what's dysgraphia? Who's that?
Dysgraphia sounds like, who is she?
Who is she? She sounds hot.
Dysgraphia is the order of things. It's, if you were to tell me a phone number right now, it's the mechanical part of your brain that transmutes what you say into the actual physical act of writing that down. Mm-hmm. There's a disconnect there. So it's much more rare than dyslexia. Mm-hmm. But dyslexia and dysgraphia, you're essentially saying this person could never be literate. Even if I had every sort of schooling, any sort of program, Sylvan Learning Center, it would be a little bit better, but I would never be a flawless reader.
And hey, I think that's okay. I'm not super great at cold reading. I ask for scripts too in advance. Just because I'm like, it's table read. I want to at least be familiar, make a choice with the joke, and like practice the order of the words. Because sometimes my brain will switch things around. And I've had table reads where I go, oops, I'm sorry. And then I'll be like, I'll say that joke better. And then, you know, get that laugh because you're like, ooh, doo, woo. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. It's really fucking tough.
Have you gotten tested for dyslexia?
I haven't gotten tested, but I'm pretty sure I do have it because someone will say words to me and they'll be like, repeat it. And I'll be like, and I'll have been listening and I will think I have taken it in, but then I will have to think and like really rack my brain and be like, okay, they said this, 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 and this. And then sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's very wrong.
That does sound like it. So I have the same thing. So yeah, you might. Yeah, because it's great. Because if you have a disorder, it's like an excuse to not do things. It's great. I suffer from depression or whatever. You know, if you have a fancy word for it, you could do anything. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in that situation where you're in the room auditioning for something and they're like, okay, I know you came in for Sweet Little Girl Next Door, but you got to take these sides. This is... Me, it's usually like you need to, there's this piece of shit character that you would be perfect for.
Mine's like, okay, we know we like read you for the lead, but we're not going to cast a fat black as the lead. We really want you to read for Sally, her best friend, whose lines are only, yes, girl, I wrote for you. So yeah, that's happened.
That is it. That is it. Yeah. Yeah. This is the queen. Basically her whole personality is Yas queen.
Yeah.
So now I've gotten better, a little more confident, being like, no, actually, you need like 10 minutes or more to actually look at this because I have this fancy disorder and this $10 word. But will you do it in the room or will you just say like, no, let me come back?
I've said, let me come back. I'll be like, I need time. And it's specifically, it's not because I was like being kind to myself. I just took an audition class where the guy was like, memorize the first three lines because they'll show that you made a choice or whatever. And I was like, okay. So then I'd be like, I got to memorize the first three lines. That's what that man told me. I paid good money. He told me.
Yeah.
So that's literally why I asked for it.
So you just memorize the first three and then you can go down and read in real time?
No. So I would memorize the first three, read through it like five or six times. And then if I felt like I was taking too long, I would go, I'm ready. Or they'll be like, are you ready? And I'll go, yes. And they go, oh, we'll just give you more time. We can see two other people than you. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I, by the way, anytime I've been in the room, and tell me if this happened to you, when they're like, oh, just look at it right now and then do it. I am not looking at this at all. I'm pausing, but I have no plan. I'm not taking in any information on the page at all. And I think when you start out, you're so insecure about being there. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird thing that you don't know how to say what would be good for you because you have no other option. When did you feel like you had the option to say what would be good for you?
I would say probably within the last 4 years.
Okay.
Which is like, I've been working since 2012. It's a minute to be like, same, yeah. This is what I need.
I'm like, yeah, that's not good for me. No, I can't. I don't want to say that line.
Yeah. I mean, I've had times where there's jokes where I'm like, I cannot make fun of this older actress's face. Like, you have to change this line. And then a nice older gentleman who wrote the joke would be like, it's funny, though. And I go, okay, to you. But like, it's my face saying it. I would really love if you, the funny guy, could come up with an alt because like you're really funny, right? And that took a minute to understand that like I can say I don't want to say this. I don't have to say awful shit.
Right. Because it ultimately is your face. And to the greater world or people in the Midwest, when they watch a show, they know it's written. There's a director, but it is you saying it. It's your face.
Yes. And I will say, that's generous to some people in these other states and people who aren't in the industry. They go, you wrote that. You said that. You're bad at jokes. And you're like, I just said what was on a piece of paper. I gave an alt. They didn't like it.
I feel like you're at the fame level now where you're going to be included in a documentary about like where, you know, when they're like, oh, Paris Hilton got a bad rap. And then they'll play a bunch of clips from shows and monologue jokes that do not age well. It's always Jay Leno be like, Monica Lewinsky, I'm big old whore.
Yep.
It's like, that is not the discord at all. Jay Leno jokes age, I mean, worse than milk.
Truly. There was one. Oh, in the Britney documentary, they go through a bunch of late night jokes. Yes. And I was like, oh, I can't believe we as a nation just went, okay.
Knowing what we know now, the hand sanitizer guy that got in a bunch of trouble for up pricing everything in the New York Times article. The New York Times said that he was price gouging. He sold things online. One of the things happened to be that. And then because everyone's prices are raising, his got raised. But people went after him.
Yep. It's a interesting fucking world we live in.
Have you ever run into someone that you've maybe made fun of?
Like, no.
Oh, Tyrese, I had a joke about you. Personal experience.
No, I try really hard to not make jokes about people. People with names and shit. And yeah, I try really hard because I'm just like, I mentioned Joe Rogan in an episode of this podcast with, I don't remember who the guest was, but then in the comments, you know, people are like, but do you listen to Joe Rogan? It's like, no, I sure don't. I just don't think he needs to be the spouter of information that you take to then live a life. He's a comic.
Yes.
I hope nobody's taking information from me and without questioning it, living their life. It's a comedy podcast. I'm just here to tee-hee-hee.
Right.
You know?
And to be fair to Joe Rogan, which he doesn't need it, like the fact
Please
that CNN.
Please be fair. I love Fear Factor.
CNN, like propagating him, they're just propping him up. They're just by saying, like, this is misinformation, you're only drawing more people there because it's alluring to think, like, oh, here's an alternative opinion to what we're hearing. If I listen to him, maybe I'm smarter because I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. And they're promoting him more than he could ever promote himself.
It is wild. And I feel like we don't know that. Or maybe they do understand. I don't know. It's like whenever you talk, like, it's kind of like how when Trump was president, every news fucking outlet covered him, talked about him, and then he stopped being president. I have heard I really don't hear much about him at all anymore. No. And I'm like, I know he was the president, so it was like talk about him or whatever, but like the non-presidential shit he was doing, we didn't need to like cover. You know?
Right. The gossipy thing, whatever, he got peed on in a hotel room. It's gossip.
You know, that didn't really get resolved. What was the point of covering that?
How did you square that with your special? Because your special is really fun. And that's like, oh, this is just who you are. It's not a bunch of political jokes. It's not a bunch of COVID jokes. You address it, but it's not. What was that?
I was like, let's address it because it is a thing we all lived through. But I was like, what, am I going to take time to write jokes that were already done on Twitter better, that were already done on Instagram better, that were done by like one hit wonders? Because that's what social media is. Like when people are like, I went viral, I'm like, yeah, you're a one hit wonder. It's hard for you to reproduce more funny content, but it's like that one hit wonder, it hit. You can't really, really talk about it. I was watching a different special the other day, and it was a lot of COVID stuff. And I was like, remember when we wiped down groceries? I'm like, yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. What is your take on it? Is there a take? No, maybe not. So I was like, let me just pop in and pop out and then talk about things that happened to me during the pandemic that may not have happened to other people. So that's my take on a lot of comedy, where I'm like, my mother used to say, you're not reinventing the wheel. Like, you can't. It's done. What's your take on the wheel?
Everything has been done. It's impossible to shoot for complete originality. So is that as a step of like, just selfishly asking for myself, who's trying to set up another one. Is it always like, okay, well, let me just keep investing in the personal material and not necessarily what's happening in the zeitgeist. I'm not going to be like, Ukraine, Russia, get over her, girl. Well, Russia is obsessed with Ukraine.
Oh my God, Russia's like obsessed with Ukraine. Yeah, I mean, I do keep it rather personal, which is like something I'm like at odds about, where I'm like, how much of my personal life do I actually want to be fucking talking about in public? And then, you know, you make an Instagram post and then someone brings up something you said on a podcast a year and a half ago or at a live show like 2 years ago, and you're like, man, people don't fucking forget. They don't. They just let it sit in their hearts for so long. So I don't know. I took a break from stand-up after my special for a minute, and now I'm trying to debate on what I want to talk about, like, just personally. I don't know. How do you make a choice? Like, wait, is your special's not out yet?
No, it is out. It is out.
It's making, ready to come out.
It's making huge waves. It was on the 20th. Yeah. But
oh, fuck. I need to watch it because I'm excited to watch it. I think you're so fucking funny.
Thank you for that. I think the biggest lesson watching yours is, I don't know, not being so precious about things. You are one of the most charismatic and entertaining people to watch as a person.
Oh, thank you.
That I'm not watching you to be like, what's her take on Derek Chauvin? It's like, I want to enjoy myself. I want to watch a funny person explore ideas and talk. And that was very helpful. You'd be like, oh, yeah, you could just essentially be yourself, and that is enough. That is enough because you are so charming as a person. Not everyone can do that. We see plenty of specials that do not have material and just relying on personality. I will now name names.
And it's just like, tee hee hee.
But you got it.
One of my favorite shows that we did was at Dynasty, and you were talking about a ton of stuff from your childhood and growing up in a cult. And the audience really was like, we don't know. Oh, my God. My dog is barking. Clyde, stop.
That's not like he saw something. He like came in to yell at you. That was the energy.
He was like, excuse me. I don't like where this is going. But it was a show we were talking about, like, your childhood. And I think you were talking about Mickey Mouse and how Mickey Mouse wasn't, like, allowed in the house. Something about it. But the audience really couldn't decide if you were joking or not joking. And I couldn't stop laughing. One of my favorite things is to watch someone be very funny and an audience go, I don't know.
I don't know, because I was just, it was like me, know. You, Sashir, and and Joel. So it's like we all know each other. So we had essentially tuned out the entire audience and we were just talking. I don't even remember them being there. I just remember telling you guys this thing. Oh, I think it was Star Wars. I'd never seen Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I'd only seen the edited version because of our religious upbringing. Any sort of violence in a movie, was edited out on two VCRs very harshly. Mm-hmm. So all the action sequences of Star Wars were taken out, and it was just a guy moping in the desert, and then it cuts to a bathrobe on the ground. And everyone's crying. So all of it was kind of... So I was like, I don't understand why people like this movie. This is the most boring movie imaginable. And it was only when I was an adult that I saw the movie. I was like, oh, cool. But yeah, I think that's might have been it. But I forgot they were there, and I just wanted to tell you guys that. As friends of mine. Man.
So funny. The audience really was just like, okay.
Were you not allowed to watch anything growing up, or was anything, like, is there something you were watching as a kid? You're like, this is not for children like
well,
me.
Well, my mother wouldn't let us watch Dawson's Creek, 90210, Melrose Place, but we watched Ally McBeal, and then like Jerry Maguire. It was like a lot of like pretty overtly sexual things. And then, like, a lot of, like, fighting things. I'm trying to think, like, what kind of action movies we had. Just, like, Mission Impossible. I don't know. Like, it was just,
Dawson's,
like,
was Dawson's Creek seen as, like, how Euphoria is seen? Like, for the 90s, was Dawson's Creek... Because I never watched anything growing up. So was that, like, a sexual show?
Well, my mother just didn't like that Pacey fucks his teacher at some point. It's either in the pilot or, like, in the series. And my mom was like, no, that's not right. So we watched things that she liked. Like, I remember being, I don't know, 12, and we watched this movie called Soul Food, and two characters were, like, fucking against a wall standing up, and my mom just slowly, like, just turned and looked at me, and she said, that's hard to do. And I was like, why would you,
And that's how you learned about sex?
Yeah, by being deeply uncomfortable with my mother and her being like, takes a lot of balance and core strength.
It really, unless he doesn't have a natural banana curve, it is very hard to do that.
I mean, I've always been very fat, so no one has ever attempted it with me. No one's ever been like, you know what I want to do? Hurt myself.
Not even
you know?
For the ego of just like, I could do it. It's not enjoyable.
Nope.
So many things that are, oh man, that's a lesson I wish I would have learned much earlier, is like so many things that are in movies or even in porn does not feel even remotely good. One for her, let alone for you. It's not fun. There's nothing wrong with a good old missionary.
I like missionary. I feel like people really knock it, and it's nice. You just move legs around and then you get different angles. And it's your face is there. It's nice to look at someone's face. Your titties are there. And you slap them around a little bit. It's nice.
You know me, I always slapping titties. Kissing and slapping titties, it is the best. It just feels like, oh, everything fits. This is, I feel like a Republican in missionary because I'm like, this is right. this is why God intended it.
Have you ever had sex in a shower?
Yes.
I have not because... I am deeply scared of slipping, falling, being knocked unconscious, and then the person like either leaving me or also slipping, falling, and being knocked unconscious. And then we wake up and we go, who are you? And then we don't know each other.
And you're naked and that's how you have to say hello to the world?
Yeah.
It is awful for another reason that they don't talk about in movies is that any sort of natural lubricant that the body provides is now washed away. So if you're having sex, one, it's like, I'm a little cold. I want to stay in the hot water. And then in that process, you kind of have to be behind. The guy has to kind of be behind or guy on guy. And then any natural lubrication gets washed away immediately. So it's not that enjoyable.
It just looks so hot in movies. Movies do a really good job of like making sex look like it's this like, raw thing where everyone's like, I want you.
Yeah.
Some of the best sex I've ever had was like just going, tee.
Have you had to do it yet for a show or a movie, a sex scene?
I have given 3 blowjobs on screen, but like not on screen, but like just like kind of going out of frame.
Yeah, it's you like ducking and there's the AC next to you. There's just like a camera assistant. Okay.
Being like, that was funny. You're like, thank you. It's funny to think about whenever I watch TV and someone exits a scene, I'm like, they're like in a closet with somebody else where like that's where the set ends, or they're like dodging other things through the set, or they're crouched really low somewhere so they're out of frame. Yeah. It's really funny to me.
Yeah, these like big, like, yeah, if it's like a hot sex scene, it's like, I'll be back. And then he's gotta like duck under a softbox and a light. It is the most awkward thing, because the sex scenes that I have done, you've had to fill out paperwork before, because there's a nudity clause for everything. Everything is agreed upon before of how much is going to be shown, and like what you're allowed to do, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, it's agreed upon. There's 100% consent. So by the time you get into it and you're having to stay there for focus marks, you're having to go back to one, it is the least hot experience. It is, when I hear stories of people getting hard on set, I'm like, that is so far from my mind right now. This is so deeply awkward and mechanical.
Yeah. I've never been turned on in like kissing someone either, because it's just like a camera's whipping around. Did you hit your mark? You didn't hit your mark. And then you're like, ooh, what did you have for lunch? Oh, also, you don't learn your lines, and that's not fun for me. I don't like you as a person.
Yeah. And then you're like, you're hearing burps from crew members. I'm like, oh, that smells like what lunch was. It was Spanish style rice.
It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Ooh, you really enjoyed it.
I think the first one I did was in an unreleased James Franco movie, meaning when he was doing his very litigious program at UCLA, I was in one of those movies that it was so risque that it was unreleased. Imagine James Franco being like, that is too much. That is the line. This teen gangbang is not what I...
God, what is your life? You're like in the right place at the wildest times. Like, have you seen a cut of that movie?
No. And then trying to like hit up the director for just like footage for my reels pretty early on. So I was like, I'll take any footage. Was very cagey about it. So yeah, it was very weird. It was like female director, but that doesn't make it better. But essentially it was like four guys and a girl in a room. And she was like at a level of intoxication where it's like, I don't know, is this okay? And I think that was the question of the movie. So I played, you know, one of the pieces of shit in the movie, and even though it was like very low budget, was a very like meticulous contract of what we were allowed to do, what we were allowed to show. So by the time we got to it, it's like one and two and three and four and cut and reset. The second one was like a mutual masturbation scene via Skype.
Yes.
That wasn't great either.
Okay.
Regular Skype sex isn't even that good.
I've never had Skype sex. I think I'd rather just not do it.
Right. That is always the... I
could
just wait. There's the whole internet. I could do that. I don't have to see you.
Yeah, I could just do a quick Google search for someone who looks similar to you, similar to me, and, you know, watch that and have a nice time alone.
Did anyone try in the lockdown, anyone you might have been dating or flirting, being like, hey, let's get on and maybe we do things?
You better believe not one person.
I reached
out to someone that I had been dating right before lockdown happened, and he was like, no, thank you. And I was like, okay, she's riding this solo. And then there was a point I was like, I think I'm just going to be alone forever. And then people were like, Zoom dating. And then I did one and I was like, okay, again, I think I'm going to be alone forever. And then they're like, we're going to have a vaccine. And then that took a couple months. And then I got the vaccine and then started dating again. Bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
Real quick, we have to take another break.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
to break the rules. Are you curious about gift-giving etiquette? If so, I implore you to check out a very funny podcast called I Said No Gifts on the Exactly Right Network. Every Thursday, host Bridger Weinergaard invites his favorite people in comedy into his backyard to chat. He just has one rule: no gifts. Unfortunately, everyone has ignored this simple request. They all bring gifts and force Bridger to talk about it. In addition to yours truly, past visitors include Bowen Yang, Darcy Carden, Mitra Johari, and Weird Al Yankovic. Each episode includes a fun game, and Bridger offers perfect gift-giving advice to clueless listeners. In case you were wondering, I brought him cough drops, and it was a treat and a dream. Don't miss new episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't wait to ask this question. What was worse, Zoom dating or Zoom stand-up comedy?
Here's the thing. I refused to do Zoom stand-up comedy.
That's why she's successful. That is exactly why you are successful. That is the comedic mind being like, this is not good. This is not conducive for what this trick of an art form is. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm laughing because that person's laughing next to me.
And oh, my like, God. I could just monologue by myself in my house with nobody responding.
Yeah.
I want to do that on Zoom with a shitty connection and then be like, did you hear the last thing I said? I was like, I learned how to do stand-up in front of people. I don't want to have to learn how to do it for no people and then go back to doing it for people.
No one should have to bomb in their own living room. If you've ever bombed before, and it happens if you're writing like you should be, you leave the venue as fast as possible.
Uh-huh. You go, no, thank you. That was very bad. Sorry about it.
You shouldn't then watch Tiger King in the same room. Get out of there.
Yeah, shut the laptop up, and then you're like, I guess I'll watch Netflix now and really think about how I can improve.
I bailed on every single one of them. I think the one thing I did with my show when you were on is like, oh, let's just talk to people because I'm not going to make them do stand-up, because everyone bailed on it. Everyone was like, they would start with a joke of like, everyone's making sourdough bread these days, and I'm just thinking, like, we got a date, but we're also having... Do you guys want to see my cat? And they'd bring up some cat that doesn't want to be in the frame. Just,
I mean, that's the only way you can do it. Just like, do you want to see things in my house? Yeah, the pandemic, like, I know we need it to laugh and stuff, but I was like, there's other ways. I did 2 Zoom happy hours, and I was like, I can't. I couldn't possibly. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, because even if you're saying something offhand, the way that Zoom works is it'll take priority to who's ever the loudest. So... Uh-huh. If you were performing or if you're doing a happy hour, if some like Midwest mom was like, that's true, that's so true, it would just immediately go to her and then cut your audio off for the end
you're
of
like,
your joke.
Oh, okay, cool. I will say the only thing that has stuck with like a Zoom anything is I will watch like TV with someone on Zoom. If I'm like, you were exposed to COVID? Great. Oh, we had plans to watch this. We can just watch it on Zoom, watch the show, talk at commercial.
That's kind of nice. That's great.
That's the only thing I will do over Zoom that's social.
Whatever you have with that person is what you need in a relationship.
Oh.
Because that's most of life. So if someone's like hot as shit and the sex is good, that's maybe, if we're being generous, 18 minutes out of the day.
Okay.
Closer to 3. So if you can't do that, and that's most of life. Most of life is not that endless emails and vacations. Most of life is a show is out. Emily in Paris is out. Can you be comfortable shitting on that show in between commercial breaks? That is, in my head, the closest thing that I've felt to love.
Oh, well... That is what I want. I do. I keep saying, I'm like, all I want is somebody to sit on the couch with and watch. I've been watching The Office to watch The Office with me. Yeah, I mean, that's all I want. I just want, like, to look at someone and be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I think the what I see from the outside is you're very... very outgoing, very charismatic, very fun person. And the kind of people that that sometimes draws are those people that are a little unhinged. They like a good time. And then after you have come and you get that clarity and you're with that person, you're like, this person is not I don't want to say any words to this person about this show. Yeah.
I have dated a lot of people where, like, after sex or, like, during the day, like, you sleep over and you wake up and you're like, oh, we can't talk. There's nothing to talk about. I don't think there's a thought in your head. Or I'm, like, very hungover and I'm like, hello? And they're like,
yeah. I'm not good in the mornings, or comedians were only good at night. Like, I'm not even close to being on. It's not like, don't you want to see me before my coffee? It's like, I'm a little bitch until noon. You don't want to meet this little bitch. Have you ever had the thing where you have someone that's from out of town stay with you and it's like a hookup thing? That is hell.
Wait, no, I've never had a hookup from out of town.
Like someone you met in New York, maybe, or they live in New York, and they're like, I'm going to come out to LA, and we're fucking, so we should maybe stay together, and then they stay with you, and then they're just always there, because they don't know anyone.
No, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I did that.
For how long? How long did they stay?
It's only a week, but it felt like a year. it's someone I met on Birthright. It's a free trip that is supposed to bring down Palestine. They give Jews a free trip so that more Jews will go to Israel, get married there. They'll pay for your wedding.
Yes.
They will pay all your expenses if you meet someone on Birthright and get married there.
Is like, on Birthright? Aren't you like 16?
You're 18. I went when I was 20. So it was like technically kind of drink.
Wait, didn't you grow up with Christian missionary parents?
Oh, yeah. But my name is Moses Storm, and my dad is a little Jewish. So that was enough. Because it is not for, like, educating Jews. It is legitimately there to get more Jews than there are Palestinians. That's why it's state-funded. It is, in my head, this is my own personal beliefs, and Why Won't You Date Me does not support this in any way.
I'm ignorant to I really have not done enough research to have an educated thought on it.
The whole trip is that you just go on a series of first dates.
Oh.
20 guys, 20 girls, and you're going whitewater rafting, and then a hike, and then it's some propaganda at a temple. And then you get to all stay in a commune. And I was like, no drinking, but does anyone want to ride to the city? And then everyone drinks all night. Everyone hooks up on Birthright. Even the kid with the neck towel hooked up. The kid that was so sweaty, he had to carry a neck towel around. Even he got
some ass?
Yeah. So it's a fuck trip.
How much Jewish in me do I need? Oh, God. What a wild sentence.
You could go. Yeah. You could be like, I tripped close to a matzo ball one time. And like, that's enough. You want to go? you got to quit the following, Nicole.
Yeah. Send me to Birthright. I did a commercial. You can't find it anywhere. I think I've deleted it from the internet. I did an Israeli Nestle commercial where I played a very sassy fairy who just moved her neck around and she was like, chocolate, everybody.
This is how Israel sees you.
Uh-huh. Well, the casting director said, if you go too black, I'll bring you back. And I flew to fucking Bucharest, Romania to shoot it. And then my flight was canceled. I was like, I need to leave Bucharest. So I got a different flight, flew to Tel Aviv, and then flew back to New York from Tel Aviv, and there was a bunch of people from Birthright on who were, like, giving hand jobs under blankets and, like, moaning. And I was like, on the plane?
Yes, it is. Oh, my God, that happened exactly on our flight out. There's, like, Orthodox or, like, actually Jewish guys praying by the bathroom, and then right next to that was two 16-year-olds giving each other the driest hand jobs where you could hear it.
Boy.
You could hear just, shh, shh. It's like a... like a Avena ad of like dry skin. That's how early was that? Is that present day Nicole being like Israel?
No,
this is 2014.
No, I think this was 20. No, it was before I moved to LA. So it was like 2011-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
2010, 2011. Yeah, it was truly wild. Also, everybody in Romania was so little. Everyone was so short, and everyone kept staring at me. They were like, that's the biggest, darkest person I've ever seen!
That's where you have your wall sex. That's where you want it. They're at the right angle.
Uh-huh.
That's
just
the
small
place
enough
to try
to
it.
Climb in my pussy.
It is wild, the jobs we took early on. I took some very bad jobs.
Oh, yeah.
One of the jobs
was... one of your first jobs?
Oh, the first, like, job, like, this is paying money. It was made by all the creators of 2.5 Men, the biggest show at the time in 2012.
Men.
What a song that has aged perfectly. And it was the first ever... product placement sponsored show on Hulu. It was a sitcom that was heavily sponsored by Subway to the point where I'm like, hey, I'm sorry your mom died in that car accident. I wish everything was as easy as this meatball marinara with sangu sauce. It was that heavy. And we did a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And one of the behind the scenes things is Jared from Subway came to visit the set.
No.
Me being 20 and so eager to please and so excited to have a job that wasn't the 8 restaurant jobs I had, was saying anything and everything to the behind-the-scenes camera.
Oh, boy.
After the charges are announced against Jared from Subway for some CP, and now Jared is being sentenced to possess a child pornography, he's being sentenced. So it's well after it's public knowledge he's been proven guilty. There's still a video of me up on this show, one of the behind the scenes, really sweet talking Jared. I think what I said is, it's so cool to have Jared on set with our show. I mean, you go into every Subway and you see him, and Jared is really the Brad Pitt of Subway. The clip.
Jesus, that's really fucking funny.
That's really bad. What a cosign. He's the Brad Pitt.
He's the Brad Pitt of Subway. That is so funny. That's, oh, what a dream of a story. Wait, do you have that footage?
No, because I regret this more than anything in my life, even more than inviting that girl out here to stay with me for a week, even though we had no plans, was that. Because I had to message, Facebook was still a thing, I had to message one of the producers because everything had been scrubbed. There was no sign of Jared on any of the websites, any of the episodes of the show. We did 4 seasons. Oh, my God. Everything was scrubbed of him. The one video that was up, if anything of Jared, was one, like, a conspiracy video of, like, Jared has been running a ring. And then the other one was me saying Jared from Subway is the Brad Pitt of Subway.
Oh, boy.
So I messaged that, and then, like, oh, my God, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. And then they took it down that night. And I hate myself for that. Cause what a
not screen recording it first.
I know.
That's so fucking funny. You have a joke in your wait, maybe it's not in your special. Maybe I saw it in your Conan set. But it's about going to cheer. You wanted to go to football camp, but then you ended up going to cheer camp. And then I'm not doing the joke justice, but it makes me laugh really hard.
We grew up very poor, and it's a lot of kids. So a lot of the times, it's you are doing things just because your other siblings are also doing them. You know, it's not a great idea to see an R-rated movie, but it's like, everyone just do it. So you get batched together. And then one of the summers, my 2 sisters wanted to go to this cheer camp. And 5 minutes away, at least in my head, it's probably exaggerated for comedy. It might be more like 15, but was a boys' basketball camp. And
basketball.
Then, of course, I wanted to go to it because, like, boys do basketball. And it's 1999, so there's hard gender lines. It's not like now where it's like, you could be whatever you want. You could be on a Subway web series. So I had to go to the cheer camp and was sentient enough to be like, this is lame. Boys don't do cheer. But then because I was smaller than all of the girls, got thrust into a position. I had to be the flyer. Which, have you ever seen Cheer on Netflix? It's essentially the job. You're getting tossed in the air. It's always the smallest girl. It's the safest to throw her up. So that was me. So impossible to lay low. I was essentially the face of the organization. And then eventually at the end of the summer, there are treat like the final talent show or whatever it was that we get to go up to the boys basketball camp, the same exact one that I went to go to, and then cheer them on for a game. and it went exactly as well as you could imagine.
It's really funny.
Were you always funny growing up, or did you pretty early on, like, if anyone's going to bully you, it's like, let me 8 Mile you. Let me say the worst thing about myself.
I guess I would make fun of myself before anybody else could, but also I was always, like, loud and friends with people, so, like, I grew up around a bunch of white people, so people would be like, yeah, but you're not black, or they'd be like, you're not fat, and I'm like, oh, I mean, those are two things that I am, so I don't really understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and why are they framed as a negative? You're not, like, black.
I don't know. Were you funny growing up?
No, I mean, we weren't around anyone growing up. I was maybe funny with my siblings to break tension, but it wasn't for the greater good. It was just like, I need attention because there's so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I was 18 and everyone's asking you, what are you going to do with your life? I could barely read or write. So I was like, well, the one thing I'm kind of good at and the thing I'm interested in is comedy. So maybe if I start to develop that, that could possibly be something I could monetize.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always bullshit when people say, I couldn't do anything else. Like, well, you could work at Taco Bell.
Yeah, you could. You could. Yeah, you could take a job anywhere. You could, yeah. I worked retail for a very long time.
Exactly.
I thought I was going to be a manager of Elaine Bryant for a very long time until I was like, I can't work here anymore. I got to go.
Because you were good on the sales floor. You're just insane.
Oh, I'm great. My dad used to be like, you could sell ice to a hot person. I don't know what the phrasing is.
You could sell ice to a hot person. Yeah, because ice.
You could sell.
Hoppy bars, like, you sell, know, whiskey,
you
meat.
Could sell.
Whiskey.
You
can
sell whiskey to a drunk. I don't know. Whatever. I could sell, like, I was
a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
Yeah, there you go. But they would push this fucking credit card on people, this Lane Bryant credit card with this awful fucking interest rate. It was like, I don't know, 38% or something stupid. And they'd be like, open up these credit cards.
It's so much.
And I was really good at getting women to open up these credit cards. And then when I, like, learned about credit, I was like, what are we doing? And I was like, oh, yeah, creating debt so this company could keep going. So then I would go, hey, do you want to save 5%? And they go, yes. And I go, if you don't pay this off today, you're not actually saving 5%, but you're going to lose money in the long run. So if you want the 5%, want the perks of the card, but you have cash and you were going to pay with your debit card or your credit card where you have a lower interest rate, open the credit card. It will ding your credit score. So if you're looking to buy something, I wouldn't do that today. Pay it off immediately. And then I got in trouble. They were like, you can't tell them to pay it off immediately. And I was like, then I'm not going to ask them to open the cards. But I would always win contests.
Because they wanted the... Is this 2007, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. But so you're partly responsible for the financial collapse. Just... pushing credit on people that cannot afford it. Nicole Byers, uh-huh. This is what you get canceled for. Uh-huh. This is it.
They're like, we figured it out. It was Nicole Byers, fucking Lane Bryant, that caused the fucking housing crisis.
38%.
No, but I was trying to solve it. I was like, you got to pay it off immediately. And if you aren't going to pay it off, don't open that card.
Oh, that's exactly what I did. Because I grew up dog shit poor. So one of my scam jobs I had when I first moved here was selling beauty products on college campuses. And I felt so shitty. You would have to cold open a girl and be like, excuse me, do you go to salons? Because your hair is perfect. And then you would sell them this like scam package where they would get a discount at like local salons and like a beauty store. Like their version of Sephora. Uh-huh. And I felt so shitty about it. This guy would pick us up in this dirty, dirty Mercedes. And he was like greasy hair. And he had like a like lift. But it was just like not a reason you shouldn't trust someone. But I just remember watching his mouth in the sun being like, it's like, this is how you do it. Excuse me, do you go to salons? And it was so creepy to approach college girls that way. And then, so by the time I finally got a sale, I threw it away, or I purposely put the number in wrong and I threw away the correct one to turn it a fake one. Cause I felt so shitty about the fact that it was a scam.
I mean, it is shitty and it doesn't feel good. Like I watched that documentary on LuLaRoe. Do you know about that? The leggings?
No.
So it's like a pyramid scheme where you buy a bunch of product and then you sell the product and you can make a ton of money. But the way you actually make product or make money is by getting people under you to also sell the product. And it became so widespread that these towns were just people selling product. Like, how can you sell it if 8 people in the same development are doing the same thing as you?
That's like Herbalife. Yeah, that's Herbalife. Yeah,
yes, it is Herbalife.
You're buying the inventory and the only people that are going to buy it is I don't know, the one person that's not signed up is leggings.
Yeah, it was leggings, shitty leggings. And if you ever go to a thrift store, they're covered. They're just in every thrift store. So many. But like, I just don't understand scamming people. Like, that seems weird to be like, I'm going to get rich based on you having a bad time. I guess that's capitalism, baby.
And in your head, it's like, it's not the worst thing because I'm getting them involved and they could sell to other people. But then you're that person, which, by the way, this is a real piece of shit feeling I had very recently. But like someone you got turned down by in high school, them getting involved in a pyramid scheme and hitting you up is one of the greatest orgasms known to man. you want to talk.
Very funny.
I'm sure it's
happened
to people.
Come out of the woodwork, like, as you have been more and more successful, like, come out of the woodwork, Moses, oh my God, how are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There have been people.
Right?
People that I've not talked to in years and years. And it all starts with, like, hey, long time, so many moons since we've seen. And then, you're waiting for, like, what's the ask? Because you're not doing that well. I think when people see you, like, oh, Nicole, you got a show, Netflix, it's not a night and day experience. It's not the 90s where you've won the lottery.
I mean, boy, oh boy, I'd love to time travel and get one job in the 90s.
Right?
And, you know, and come back to now and just be so fucking rich.
The insane contracts, and I think people's perception back home is that is what's still happening. And it's not this new media scam. New media is a word for we're not going to pay you anything.
We're not going to pay you residuals. We don't know how to figure that out. Oh, no.
It's just the old internet. It's who knows who goes on there. .com,
it is so wild.
Yeah.
Our union keeps arguing. Like, when new media contracts came out, like, in the beginning, they were like, it's not going to stick around. And then when it stuck around, our union wasn't like, pay us more. It was just like, we're just so thankful to have these jobs, pay us whatever you want. But like, the fucking Writers Guild will be like, we'll strike. We don't need agents. And then agents were like, okay, we want you back. It's just, actors are so, I don't want to say sad and desperate, but like.
But there's so many people that will fill your job. I think writing is not alluring to people because you have to do the work. Stand up is not alluring to people. Not anyone can do it because you have to physically go down, right, go to a college in New Orleans where there's just the students that booked you, you're performing in front of.
And you're in a weird conference room and you're going to bomb real hard.
Under office lighting. And they haven't announced that a show is happening. Nope. So it takes about 30 minutes for them to realize Nicole Byer is not doing announcements. She's talking about her life and what she thinks is funny. Have you been brought up by the college student that has, one, never spoken in front of people?
Yes.
Two, will read your entire website bio.
Whole thing. Whole Wikipedia page.
Every lie you put on there from 2012 of, like, Sundance submittee, Sundance watching filmmaker. They say your name first and then they say this whole thing, and for some reason the last line in my bio was and from the controversial Burger King commercial. So on a college campus, like, wait, what did he do?
What kind of whoppers was he shooting off?
What did he say? What kind of makeup was he in? Yeah,
that's fucking funny.
One of the colleges, they thought it was a cute idea to spray paint my name on a mattress as a way to advertise. If anyone's familiar with college campuses, that's where you spray paint. If you spray paint a mattress and you carry that around campus, that means someone was a victim of a crime that happened to them.
Oh, no.
Assault, sexual assault. So I was like, that is not cute even a little bit.
Oh,
can we think of another? And it was like Moses Storm, last comic standing. Conan O'Brien is like, can we not put it on anything? Not a mattress.
That's fully fucking wild and very funny. I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. What advice would you give me to capture someone's heart to love me?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Right. It's again going back to what we were saying. It is about finding that person for the other essentially 23 hours in, you know, 50 minutes of the day. So it's knowing that you want that, and you know that sex and a good time is such a short part of a relationship. So it'd be one, allowing yourself to be okay with that, that not every single day with this person is the most exciting thing you've ever felt. Mm-hmm. And it's not this wild ride of like, will they, won't they? Is just allowing yourself to be like, no, it's fine that this is just a person. And I don't know. You're the last person I've ever said, be yourself. Because even on stage, even during a special, you are the most yourself that any comedian has ever been in their life. So it's not that. I think it's just about you not lowering your standards, but being okay with a different standard.
Okay. All right.
This is coming from someone, by the way, like, always see where the advice is coming from. This is from someone who got cheated on and then moved into an art exhibit that was laundering drug money. So, not a grain of salt.
But then went on one Tinder date and found love.
Yes.
So he did something right.
But was not looking for it at all. Was not.
Maybe that's what it's got to be. I got to just walk into the world, not looking for love.
But isn't that bullshit? Even by not looking for it, you are looking for it.
Yeah.
That's a bit you can't have it until you don't want it. It's like, well, okay, let me not want it. And then you are, by the act of that, wanting it.
Wanting it.
It's impossible. Yeah. You have to really be at your wit's end with everything.
Well, she's almost there. Okay, so Moses, this is the end. We did it. Thank you for doing it. Your special, White Trash, is streaming on HBO Max. Do you have anything else you want to promote? Your show just got picked up, right?
Yeah. Moving to New York for that. Trash White is on HBO Max. It's the first
trash
thing I ever...
Trash White?
Yeah, because it's like a different kind of white trash. You get it, Nicole?
Wait, it's not white trash?
No, it's the other way around. I think I might have typed
did
it
I
wrong.
Did I say trash white in your intro?
We said white trash, but it's fine. It's like the same words.
No.
It'll come up. It'll come up. It's fine.
I'm now looking at it. I'm like, it definitely says trash white here. And I just really flipped it.
Dyslexia. This is all, it's all full circle.
Boy.
That's
boy,
it.
Boy, oh boy, Moses. How awful.
I'll be at Caroline's in New York. I think it's like March 26th. Like, that's the only thing by the time this comes out. And then, working on part two of the special. Because it leaves on a cliffhanger.
That's fun. I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm excited. I should have watched it before, but for whatever reason, I thought it came out in February.
Oh, no, this comes out in February. But you should know, in the special, I go after you. I'm uncomfortable with how much. It is a gotcha special.
Oh, I can't fucking wait to see what you said about me and your trash white, trashy McTrasherson-ness.
It's a roast. It's a roast. I pull up commercials from Israel. Like, look at this money
look at
monster.
One commercial. Moses, thank you so much. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you could like it, you could rate it, you could subscribe on fucking Apple Podcasts or whatever. And if you write me something nasty to an email address, which is whywon'tyoudateme@gmail.com, I will read it. This nice person, yeah, you got to hit on me and say something nasty. So this person said, ooh, baby, Nicole, I want to shove a can of whipped cream in your big, beautiful cheeks and have you clench them real hard until the whipped cream squirts out and onto my face while I'm eating your ass. Thank you. Or, yeah, ass has so many S's in it. Ass.
This person has never had sex before. Never even seen a video. The whipped cream goes where the butt is.
And they truly think I'm more talented than I am. I don't think I'm trying to clench. I don't think I could make a whipped cream squirt with a clench. That's it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by Oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.